Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffee Grande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Ah yes, can you hear it? It's the sound of a glass ceiling being taped back together. Yes, Nancy Pelosi, unfortunately, is going to be leaving the speakership, and we're all very sad about that, even though Nancy Pelosi sucks. But to celebrate her exit and the giant L she has to wear on her forehead till the end of time, leaving us with a giant loss, it's the Nancy Pelosi Sucks Pen. Now, we've been talking about the Nancy Pelosi Sucks Pen for a while, and here she is leaving us now. She's going to have less power. So why not celebrate that with a Nancy Pelosi Sucks pen of your own? Now, this is a great Christmas gift for anyone else who thinks Nancy Pelosi sucks. So pretty much everybody. But now you can save 25% off right now if you use the code BYNANCY. See you later, Nancy. B-Y-E, Nancy. Buy Nancy, 25% off right now at nancypelosisuckspen.com. I don't know how long these are going to last. I mean, the rumor is that since she's out, as soon as this last batch goes, this is it for these pens. So if you want to get one, go to nancypelosisuckspen.com. Use the promo code BYNANCY. Save yourself 25%. And always remember, Nancy Pelosi sucks.
Stu does America.
No, that wasn't nice at all, what I just said about Nancy Pelosi. I apologize for that. BlazeTV.com/Stu. The promo code is Stu. Save $10 off of Blaze TV. If you're on YouTube, like this video right now. In fact, if you're on YouTube, maybe you saw our special Q&A, YouTube only, earlier today. We talked a lot about the elections and Thanksgiving and all sorts of fun stuff. Just hanging out, answering your questions. Make sure to check it out. Stu Does America is the YouTube channel. Click like, follow the channel. And if you click the bell, we have these little live broadcasts. You're going to be clued in on it, so make sure to do that. Dan Andros is going to be here to break down the left's awful response to the Colorado shooting. The Joe Biden show continues to tread water, at least on his student debt relief promises. But we start by doing the misgendered murderer. Yes, we are now misgendering murderers. This is a very sad story. Now, of course, this is a truly sad story, a story that is absolutely awful, a mass shooting in a Club Q, a gay nightclub in Colorado. This was a situation where we had real heroes, amazing people who were able to fight back and take down the shooter in a totally different picture from what we saw, for example, in Uvalde, where police officers, trained officers, were standing there with shields and high firepower weapons down the hall waiting just to see what would happen, while in a gay club, you had a couple guys just running up and beating the crap out of the guy with a gun, and it ended it a lot faster. So thank God that happened. Of course, the narratives were built in almost immediately. It was an LGBTQIA2+ club, so therefore, this had to be a MAGA hate attack. That's how it was promoted by the media. And I want to give you a sense, before we get into today's development, of what the coverage of this story was like. This wasn't just, hey, we think this might have happened, MAGA, maybe responsible for this. I want to give you a sense as to how ridiculous this got before we knew any of the facts as to what this person, who this person is, and what this person did. Here is Ben Collins trying to, I guess, emotionally deal with this, sort of a therapy session on the air about his coverage of LGBTQ issues that I guess he thinks may have played into the murders. It's hard to tell, but check it out.
I'm just wondering, what could I have done different? Seriously, as reporters, what can we do different? Because there are 5 dead people in a strip mall, because that was the only place they felt safe as gay or trans people in this town in Colorado Springs. And I am trying to thread this needle here. I'm trying to say that this is happening. This targeted stuff has real life impacts. They say on the internet has real life impacts. And I'm going to fail, by the way. I'm going to, freak out because it's happening, because I wake up and I see that there are 5 dead bodies. But I think we have to have a come to Jesus moment here as reporters. Are we more afraid of being on Breitbart for saying that trans people deserve to be alive? Or are we more afraid of the dead people? Because I'm more afraid of the dead people.
I can tell you, I can't tell you how many times I've been on Breitbart and seen stories like MSNBC reporter says transgender people deserve to be alive. It's a very controversial statement that all conservatives were outraged by. Earlier in the segment, he had put up a bunch of headlines, and it was stuff like, you know, like, hey, there was a protest by conservatives at a LGBTQ drag queen breakfast with kids, and things like this that have. Again, we have no knowledge, no reason to believe that that was tied to these murders in any way. No reason to believe it. And he's like, what should I do? Am I scared of being on Breitbart for saying transgendered people need to be alive? Look, this is not a shock to anyone who watches The Blaze, or I'm sure, I don't check Breitbart all that often, but I'm sure Breitbart is doing the same thing, as well as any other conservative outlet worth their salt. Every human being deserves equal rights. Everyone deserves. In fact, let me give you another group of people that deserve to be alive. The 63 million that undoubtedly this guy would vote to be allowed to be killed, to be allowed to not never even have a chance at life outside of the womb. That 63 million, that group there, yeah, we think they should be alive too. We think transgender people should be alive. We think that gay people should be alive. We think that L and G and B and T and Q and Q and I and A and 2 and plus people should all be alive. That's not a controversial thing at all to conservatives. People deserve to be able to live their lives. That being said, that doesn't change your position on whether kids should be sexually indoctrinated at a drag queen story time for kids. That's a totally different story. It doesn't mean that we should be teaching all sorts of in-depth sexual concepts to second graders in the don't say gay law. That was a big part of point of debate. That doesn't mean that we think everybody should go into whatever bathroom they want to. Maybe they should go in the biological sex bathroom that relates to that. Those aren't sentiments that mean that people should lose their lives. In fact, I know of, and I mean this sincerely, there's been a lot of talk about drag queen story hour and all of that that has gone on over the past year or two on the conservative side. We talk about it often on shows on The Blaze. I have literally never heard any other conservative host say one word about drag queens gathering together as consenting adults. You can do whatever you want in a club. I don't know anyone who thinks that's not even part of the conversation. That's in your brain. That's not actually happening. But this is where we are with the coverage. Now, that happened before we got kind of a big update here last night. Now, the Colorado shooter was due to be in court for a hearing. And now the statement came in from the lawyer, and it had some interesting details in there. Colorado club shooting suspect is non-binary, says the attorney. Now, they put a filing in for the court, and it goes through a bunch of the details talking about whether they want bond or not, and this is what it looks like. But when you zoom in, there's a little footnote, and it says, I'm not going to read his name, but it's on there. It says he is non-binary. They use they, them pronouns, and for the purposes of all formal filings, will be addressed as, I don't even know how to pronounce it. Instead of Mr., it would be MX. I don't know, honestly, frankly, what any of that means. I guess the non-binary thing is a bit confusing. It just seems like a bit non-committal. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what that is. It seems like people kind of go in and out. I know Demi Lovato for like 10 minutes was non-binary, and now she's back to a girl. I don't know how this stuff works. I don't think they know how it works either. But the bottom line is, that is the situation. So now you have a situation where the murderer is LGBTQIA2+. I guess you fit into the plus when you're non-binary. I'm not exactly sure how that works. It's interesting, though, because we've been told for a very long time that the only defining characteristic of someone who is, let's say, non-binary is they, them saying the words, I am non-binary. That's the only qualification. There's nothing to check. It's a feeling that they have. some internal feeling that tells them that they're non-binary, that we're supposed to respect immediately without questioning it. And that's what the media has been telling us forever. If you don't do that, you're misgendering them, you're dead-naming them, you're doing all these terrible, you're committing crimes against humanity when you say the wrong Mr., Mrs., Mix, whatever it is. Well, all of that died in the moment when this person, who was a murderer, said that they were non-binary. Because now, apparently, it is okay to question whether that's real. Here's Allison Camerota on CNN amongst a very suddenly skeptical group about someone's claim that they're non-binary. Watch.
Attorneys for the accused shooter, Anderson Lee Aldrich, say in new court filings tonight that the suspect now identifies as non-binary.
Look at the skepticism.
In a footnote to a motion asserting legal privileges, the public defenders say, quote, Anderson Aldrich is non-binary. They use they, them pronouns, and for the purposes of all formal filings, will be addressed as Mix Aldrich. So in other words, not Mr. or Ms. I don't know what to say about that. I mean, that's not anything that we had heard from his background. You know, people have been looking into his background, and I don't know if anybody here, are you guys lawyers? I mean, you know, I don't know if, I don't know what to say about that. I mean, that's what he's now saying.
Listen to the skepticism there. They went on to say that they thought that this was just him trying to prepare a defense for a hate crime. Totally doubting him. Well, or totally doubting they. I don't know how to speak this weird language we've created. But the bottom line is totally doubting this claim that he's non-binary. Well, I mean, I can understand why I would be skeptical over such a claim like that. Makes sense that I would do that. Why would you be doing it? You said all the time that you're not allowed to do that. Now, of course, instead of just saying, wait a minute, we were totally wrong on this, this is how they double down on the claim. Right-wing influencers and media double down on anti-LGBTQ, where's the QIA2+, rhetoric in the wake of the Colorado shooting. Yes, that's what we're told. Fascinating developments here, because the whole narrative here is that you're supposed to just believe people when they say these things, and now they don't believe it. They don't believe that this guy's non-binary. Now, what is consistent with what I believe, what is consistent with what conservatives believe, is to be skeptical over this. It is not at all impossible that this person is an anti-LGBTQIA2+ person and realizes this game that has been played by the media and is trying to manipulate the coverage. Maybe he's lying about being non-binary. All of that is completely possible in my world, in your world. You and I are looking at the facts and we're saying, wait a minute, seems like it might be, and I don't even know if this is true. I'm just saying, in theory, you could question the fact that maybe this person is some right-wing extremist and is saying, I am just non-binary, to throw the media off course. It's certainly possible. However, we, as people who are trying to look for the facts in these situations and are using our noggins, can say, it's worth looking into that possibility. I can be skeptical of his non-binary claim. The media can't do that. They can't do that. They can't do that because they've set these rules up to show us that whenever someone says they're non-binary, that's what they are. That's the only qualification necessary to be non-binary, is you saying it about yourself. Now they're trying to spin their way out of it because they really want the talking point to blame Donald Trump or right-wingers or conservatives or whatever they want at this point. Now, there's this concept that has been tossed around a lot since this, which is the concept of stochastic terrorism. And here's the definition. The public demonization of a person or group resulting in the incitement of a violent act, which is statistically probable, but whose specifics cannot be predicted. That comes from dictionary.com. Stochastic terrorism. And the big thing here was, well, no, there was never a conservative media personality who said you should go shoot up an LGBTQIA2+ club. That didn't happen. No one said go into Club Q and kill people. No one said go commit violence against transgendered people. But they said bad things generally about this group, and therefore they are responsible because they've done this thing, right? They've painted an entire group of people with negative attributes, and eventually someone's going to come out and do something bad. That's the claim. But if that is something that is, that's if that's the new rule, I want to make sure I understand it, because The left says that conservatives are racist, they're homophobes, they're Islamophobes, they're haters, they're violent, they're gun owners, they hate women, they hate children, they hate everybody, Hispanics, Indians, Native Americans, everybody. What is the worst thing you can say about someone? It was just something that I just named. Somewhere in that group is the worst thing you could say about somebody else. They've painted conservatives this way the entire time. So when there are instances of violence against conservatives, and we've seen many of them, under their own definition, they would say, and they wouldn't say it, but it would be illogical to think anything else, they are guilty of stochastic terrorism and causing it. Is that sane? I don't think it's sane. You should be able to say what you want, and it's not your responsibility if some lunatic does something terrible, unless you're encouraging them to do it directly. I mean, that's kind of how our law is set up, and it's the appropriate way of looking at it. But it gives us a lot of lessons here. Number one, wait for the facts. Stop. Stop and wait. There's no reason to guess as to what's going on here. Let's see an investigation. Look, it was real. I will be honest with you. Really, really suspicious that after the shooting happened, we did not hear anything for a while. We did not hear any of his social media postings. We did not hear anything he was saying. We did not hear any reports about his background other than the one violent act from last year. We heard almost nothing about the person. Why? Could it be because he was actually non-binary? Yeah. Yeah, because that would have blown up the narrative completely. Now, is that true? I don't know. I still don't know. The fact that some murderer is telling us he's non-binary is not enough for me. I want to know the actual facts. But I will say, the media is going down this road whether this fact exists or not. They don't care about it. Now, at least by the left's summary of how this world works, we have an LGBTQQIA2+ murderer. Not someone who murdered LGBTQIA2+ people, which he also did, but also a member of that group. And look, if you look at murders overall, I mean, we had a shooting at Walmart the other day, and it was another terrible shooting. But the guilty figure in that case was the night manager. And that is much more common than some giant political attack. Over and over and over again, we think it's going to be politics that causes these things. And over and over and over again, it tends to be interpersonal relations. If this person, the murderer, was in one of these groups, non-binary, it's possible he had an interaction with someone at the club, possibly a negative interaction on the premises, possibly just a negative interaction with that group generally, and felt like he needed to take out his anger against this group. We don't know. It's possible. It's certainly something to be investigated, because that's certainly a lot more common than a political murder. That's not very common, really. It doesn't happen all that often. So this is why it's interesting, because the conservative viewpoint here is to look at this, wait for the facts, and be skeptical of what the first report is. Be skeptical of what we don't know. On the other side, the liberals are saying, okay, well, we're supposed to adopt every single piece of this ideology. When someone says they're non-binary, they're non-binary. So it's not okay for them to question that news. The problem here, more than anything else, is that the left does not care about these victims. It's the most important thing to understand about a story like this. The left is using these people and their loss to try to take advantage and gain political power. Whether it's taking your guns, whether it's vilifying your party, they just want to come after you. They don't care about these victims at all. That's just not central to what they're doing. They're doing something else here. And the quicker that we recognize what they're doing, the quicker we can push back against it. Let me tell you about Genucel, the finest in skincare. Carmen from Cedar Rapids had this to say about Genucel skincare. I love Genucel. I have struggled to find a product that didn't irritate my skin. This is the only one that I have been able to use without problems. Not only do I love it, but my skin feels like velvet. Love, love, love Genucel. From now till, I guess, tomorrow, there's a short little window for you. You can treat yourself to Genucel's most popular package for 70% off at Genucel.com right now. You can treat yourself to the only skincare products you'll ever need. Right now, every most popular package order includes Genucel's Acid Correcting Serum, absolutely free. GeniCell products delight men and women with inspiring results by correcting their daily skin problems like wrinkles, dark spots, dry skin, sagging jawline, facial redness, and even those annoying bags and puffiness. And with immediate effects, GeniCell can guarantee results in as little as 12 hours or your money back. So no risk here. Order at GeniCell.com/Drew. This is a great gift for anybody on your holiday list. Your most popular package includes a holiday gift set plus free express shipping. It's GeniCell.com/Stew. GENUCEL.com/Stew is GeniCell.com/Stew.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
Let's bring in Dan Andros. He's the managing editor of FaithWire.com, host of CBN's Quick Start podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Dan, how's it going?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. I'm a little perturbed by this media development here as we have been misgendering this murderer, and no one wants that to happen. When you look at this, I mean, it is certainly a plot twist. What do you make of it?
Well, I mean, Stu, we obviously have been monitoring media bias for quite some time. I mean, I think both of us probably, I mean, I'll just speak for me, in my days of listening to Rush Limbaugh in the 90s, and he kind of popularized the chronicling of left-leaning bias, left-wing bias in the mainstream media. And what I really believe we're seeing now is a full commitment not to just, well, you've got reporters in the media who happen to mostly be liberal, and so therefore you're seeing a lot of that bias just kind of pour through a lot of times just because that's the way they see the world. It shows in the reporting. I really do believe now you're seeing a transition to full-blown activism, not just biased, but now we're activists. Now we are committed to these narratives, and you see them make editorial decisions too that are just head-scratching, and you think, okay, at an organization like The Blaze or at CBN where I'm at, where we don't have these massive teams and endless resources like the New York Times has to report and fact check and do all this stuff. And we do it, but we do a better job than them. And that's just inexcusable. And I attribute it to them being committed to activism more than anything else.
I think that's very true. I mean, you can point to a bunch of different points on the timeline as to when this really occurred. I do go back, though, I think, to the 2016 election. And this, you know, if you look back at the coverage of the 2016 election, obviously it was very pro-Hillary. She was certainly the person who got the much better of that coverage. But there was a big difference between 2016 and 2020 in what they chose to cover and how they chose to cover it. In 2016, they did cover the email scandal. Now, most of that coverage was spent giving excuses as to why it wasn't a big deal. And they would say, OK, well, Hillary's got this email scandal. Donald Trump's saying this. Here's why it's not that big of a deal. In 2020, the similar scandal would be maybe the Hunter Biden laptop. They didn't do that time. They had a totally different approach, which was to not even acknowledge that it existed. They didn't say Hunter Biden's laptop isn't a big deal and here's why. They didn't even cover it at all. And it felt like they had made a decision. Look, we can't let 2016 happen again. We made this sort of effort at trying to justify that we were still doing journalism. That's got to end because it doesn't work anymore. We have to just go all out and make sure that people don't even know about these stories, because if we don't do that, we risk having Donald Trump for another 4 years, and that can't happen.
Yeah, you have to understand the climate that's going on behind the scenes at these institutions. I mean, look at Twitter as a perfect example. It's coming out now, this Washington Post, I believe, article talking about the behind the scenes in the Musk takeover. And they talk about how employees were deeply concerned about reinstating the Babylon Bee account. Now, this is a satire site. They make jokes. You don't have to like their jokes. That's fine. They make jokes and got banned for making a joke about Rachel Levine being the man of the year, which is funny. And they get banned for that. But the what I'm pointing to here is, like, we laugh about it at times in conservative circles about the wokeness or whatever going on at these institutions, but that is serious to them. Like that was a big deal. They truly think that anything of misgendering is actually causing harm. They've bought into this narrative. So now they feel like we have to do something about it. And so Twitter here, like this is actually a big concern of theirs. And the employees were very troubled by the Babylon Bee when that's just, I mean, that is silly over here in sane world.
Yeah, I would say. Let me push you a little bit on that point. Do they believe it? Because they act as if it's the most important thing in the world. But I have a really tough time believing that any human being on Earth actually believes the gender narrative they're trying to promote right now. I think they're doing it for other reasons. I think they're trying to undermine our institutions. I think they are using it as a political cudgel to destroy other people they don't like. I think there are reasons why they're acting as if they believe you can just turn from a boy into a girl, into a boy, into a girl, depending on however right. You feel at the moment. But no human being actually believes that this is possible or true.
No, that's a good point. And I would say I think there's both. And what I mean by that is you have a lot of these young people coming out of college and they just want to do good and they want to do the right thing. And they're all liberal and flaming progressives. And then you have activists who I would think fall into the category you're talking about, like these hardened, you know, the George Soroses of the world that are just like, whatever, we will use whatever issue we can to mobilize people. They just don't care. But then you have the useful idiots that go along with this stuff. So I think it's like a mixture of both, because a lot of these tech companies feature a lot of young people and they've fallen into this. But then there's another class, which is sort of the elitist activists that run a lot of these narrative campaigns and these organizations that are in charge of pushing these narratives, et cetera. So I think it's probably a little bit of both.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think you're probably right. I'm sure there are some people who do believe it, although I don't think they're, sentient human beings. But if you fall into this, because I mean, it's like you're talking about something else. In my best moments in this little debate that goes back and forth here, I think, you know, basically what's happening is we're just talking about two different things. Like if you corner someone who's talking about this gender stuff and you say, look, I'm talking about essentially what biological sex. That's what's important. That's what's important when you go to a hospital, right? They need to know whether you have a uterus or not. That's what's important. And that's what I care about. And they'll say, like, when you look at the descriptions of some of these like 8,000 genders they have, it's like someone who feels like they are all genders at the same time, all 100 genders at the same time. You're like, okay, like, I'm not saying that there is not a conversation to be had, right, about a person who believes they feel like there are 100 different genders at a time. That conversation probably involves medication and medical treatment to try to help them mentally understand that that's not possible. But like, okay, like if we're talking about someone's feelings, we can put that whole basket of crap over here. It might be important for that individual to understand their feelings. I'm not saying, you know, maybe they need to get therapy. Maybe they need to talk it out, whatever that answer is. But as a society, when it comes to policy, when it comes to understanding these things as a general principle, when it comes to government and how a civilization deals with these things, it is entirely unimportant what your feeling is. It is entirely unimportant to a policymaker whether you feel like you're 100 genders or at once or not. The question is what you actually are. What is the fact? Yeah. And it seems like no one on the left wants to have that conversation. It's as if it's completely irrelevant to them.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And I think maybe part of what we're seeing is the fruits of a movement that has been completely built on bullying, fear, and intimidation. Mm-hmm. Because I think you're right. I mean, I think when push comes to shove and you have an issue like this and then it comes back on them, they're totally willing to abandon it. Like we've seen, as you brought up, these, you know, the media is just like, oh, he's going by they, them. Now that suddenly they're not so sure about just saying whatever person's gender is. Now suddenly they've got a problem with that. But I think when you have a movement, and this is indicative, Stu, of a lot of I think, liberal bumper sticker theology, for lack of a better term, is they don't think these things, a lot of them don't think these things fully out. They're just trying to, you know, get people to rally to their cause. And then when the rubber meets the road, they're just, the inconsistencies pop up. I mean, say what you want about conservative views, but a true conservative like yourself is very consistent on how you apply your views to all of the different issues. Liberals are not. They walk into these inconsistencies all the time. And I think it's because you've built a movement on bumper sticker slogans and bullying. Like, if you don't agree with these bumper sticker slogans, we are going to punish you. And now you actually have an apparatus behind those punishments, not just threat of not being liked by liberals. You could actually get your accounts, your social media accounts lost, or your media page could be taken down from your news company. You can actually have real tangible consequences. But I think all of those things work together.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think the left is much more adept or willing to be willing to embrace the idea of using whatever point is in front of you, whether it's consistent with your values or not. I mean, we see that all the time when it comes to the abortion debate. Oh, we just don't want anyone in the way of you and your health care. And it's like, wait a minute.
Take the jab.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, well, last one. We have about a minute before we have to go, Dan. Last one for you.
Yeah.
As we look at this story, we've got the liberal media narrative driving down the boulevard at 90 miles an hour, saying this is MAGA. MAGA did it. We have to talk about the right-wing violence problem. And then it comes across an intersection and all the traffic lights are out. And coming across that intersection at the exact same time is this is a non-binary person. So how does this resolve itself? What does the media do? Which narrative backs off first so there's not a giant crash in the middle of the intersection?
Well, we've already seen it. I mean, NBC, ABC, and others at Newsbusters, they're reporting on this. They've already backed off and they just stopped. They just suddenly stopped kind of focusing on this story. So I think you will see them just maybe zero in on guns. Mm. And they will just, for the most part, you will see them eject on this, because the smart ones will recognize this is a blatant contradiction.
Yeah, it's interesting because the Second Amendment is the fallback position on all of these. They start out with, oh, this is the Republicans' fault, it's Trump's fault, it's anti-race, it's racism, it's homophobia, all that. And then when those narratives fall apart, they just back off to, well, guns are bad.
It's the guns, NRA.
Yeah, NRA.
So look for the NRA to be slammed here anytime soon over the weekend.
Right around the corner. Dan Andros, managing editor, faithwire.com, host of CBN's Quick Start podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to subscribe to it. Dan, thanks for coming on the program. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, thanks, Stu. You too.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Cespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
You know, sometimes I will admit, being conservative with libertarian leanings, a lot of times I have no wiggle room on government issues. I just don't feel the need to give them the benefit of the doubt, just because I've seen this stuff over and over again. Sometimes things that can be relatively sensible in the short term are there, and you're like, okay, well, that makes sense. And then the government abuses them like crazy. You know, a good example of this is the Jonestown flood. This happened in 1889 in Pennsylvania. Big flood, did a lot of damage. And they passed a tax to help rebuild the town and, you know, used a state of emergency to do it. I can't remember all the details, but what I can remember is the tax is still in place. Now, you're going to be surprised to hear that the town has already been rebuilt. It was 1889 this happened. So this is what happens all the time with government. Now, let me fast forward now to today. COVID hits. It makes some sense. We could all come together and say, all right, look, we're telling people that they can't go to work. Therefore, we should pause these student loan payments. Okay. All right. It makes some sense for, you know, a few months, let people get back on their feet, figure this whole thing out. And then society's going to open. People can go back and start paying these loans. Well, of course, we know what happened. This has been extended and extended and extended and extended. And people have not paid loan payments now in 3 years. Now, of course, what Biden wanted to do was just now say, well, you don't have to pay it at all. We're going to take $20,000 of your loan payments and dissolve them unilaterally. This, of course, will not work with the courts. So they decided yesterday, instead of, as they know, this is going to get blown up by the courts, they decided to extend the student loan repayment freeze so people just don't have to pay them. So the number is still on the piece of paper, but they don't have to pay them anymore. So disingenuous, but this is how government works. And it's why I have very strict lines on this stuff. You can't give them any more power. They already abuse the power that they have, even when intentions are good. Sometimes mostly when intentions are good. By the way, Joe Biden isn't just screwing up that part of the government. He's also screwing up the economy. And let's give you a picture of what your Thanksgiving dinner is going to look like. Now, going back to 2020, when the election was going on, or right after the election, I guess, in 2020, Thanksgiving dinner, $46.90 was the cost. Then in 2021, it went to $53.31 and then up $64.05 in 2022. Big deal from $47 to $64 in just 2 years. This is up 20% from just last year. You see turkey, it's at $28 for 16-pound turkey. Cranberries, $2.57. Sweet potatoes, $3.96. They have all the prices broken down, and it is just a disaster. And you see, when you look at the they got a line chart there, which shows how quickly it's gone up. Now, the inflation-adjusted cost is up, but not up incredibly dramatically. The problem, of course, here is inflation overall. This isn't like a situation where the companies are all of a sudden charging a lot more for these products. It's just that the cost of the market and everything has gone up so much. The 2022 cost of Thanksgiving dinner now up at $64. And it's basically a straight line up since the moment Joe Biden walked into the White House. But other than that, this presidency is going really well. And if you happen to be one of those people who was thinking, you know, I'm going to go look at a house to buy, you are having the same feeling you just had when I described the turkey dinner, because prices are going up. The market has gone way, way up in the last couple of years, started to dip back down a little bit. And this is a really key time to have a good real estate agent, because you want to look for a really good value. You can find them now. It's not impossible to find a good home value, especially if your credit is good. You can get a decent mortgage and get that rate down a little bit. You can find some real values. People have started to discount their homes. The market's going the opposite way that it was the last couple of years. An important time for someone who really understands the market. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com is the place to go to find that person. They work with only the best agents in every market. They do their homework. They talk to every agent before inviting them to join the network. And they only work with full-time professionals. So go to realestateagentsitrust.com, find the best agent in your area, and make sure you have the best deal possible with one of your biggest investments. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. Go there now, realestateagentsitrust.com. So we don't have final results yet. We should get them today, though, in the Senate race and congressional race in Alaska. Alaska set to announce results from confusing ranked choice system. Guys, what's so confusing about it? There's four people. Rank them in order. What do you mean it's confusing? Why is it confusing? Look, you might not like the system, but it's not confusing. It's easy. Just, you got four people, one, two, three, four. Which order would you like them? I don't know. But I will say the Democrats going to win in the congressional race. These are my projections here. The Democrats going to win the congressional race. Peltola is at 48.7%. And you have Nick Begich and Sarah Palin as two of the Republicans below. It's probably going to be Palin winning out of those two. Most of Begich's vote, 23.4%, will go to Palin, but not enough. You'd have to basically almost get no votes going to the Democrat. She's at 48.7%. So that one should be no problem for the Democrat to win. Now, Murkowski and Chewbacca are up. They're only about 1,700 votes apart from each other. 43.3% for Murkowski, 42.7% for Chewbacca. The issue is there's two other candidates below. The main one that's an issue if you are a Chewbacca supporter is the Democrat in the race, because the Democrat, Chesbrough, has 10.4% of the vote. Now, if you have Chesbrough as your number one, you wanted a Democrat to be in office, you're not going to give this to the MAGA candidate. I mean, probably 90% plus of her vote will go to Murkowski eventually. And when that does happen, Murkowski will be above 50% and win in the ranked choice runoff. So I mean, this has been, to me, a sure thing for quite some time. It should be official later on today, but you'll get a Democrat in Congress from Alaska, which is bizarre and should not happen. Hopefully that can be remedied very soon. You will get Lisa Murkowski. Again, what did I say about Murkowski? I will believe Lisa Murkowski loses this race the second she actually does. I just don't believe it. I don't care what the poll said. And in this case, it looks like Murkowski is going to be the victor. It's time once again for Stu Eats America. Yes, it's almost Thanksgiving. These aren't Thanksgiving themed treats, but it's our Thanksgiving edition of Stu Eats America. And we have an interesting one today. It's because you think, oh, well, what are you doing? You're going to Walmart and just picking things off the shelves. No, no. We go deeper for you. And in this case, we have three sodas to try. And these come from one of the producers on Glenn's show, Matt, who is the only person who seems to like snacks more than I do. And he not only gave us one of the Mountain Dew flavors the other day, the 2022 version of Voodoo, but actually went back and somehow has scored the last 3 years and the varieties. And I guess Mountain Dew Voodoo, they have a different flavor every year. So we start, I guess, with let's start with the 2021 version of Mountain Dew Voodoo. Now, to remind you, if you are new to this particular segment, there is a, this can's a little dented, there is a A to F, old school grading system here, A plus being the best, F being the worst. The 2021 version of Mountain Dew Voodoo, a mystery flavor. That's interesting. It's a grape, maybe blueberry type of vibe to it. That's pretty good, though. That's something I would actually drink. Now, this is pretty tasty, let's say. It's, you know, it's very sweet. It's got a grape candy sort of vibe to it. So it's pretty strong, pretty sweet, but pretty good. I would say this one is a solid B for 2021's version. Now let's go to 2020. Now we're starting to get to the point where, like, what's happened? What happens to a soda when it sits in a can for multiple years? Should I be drinking it? I don't know. We'll see if I make it till tomorrow. 2020's version here. This is the pandemic one. This one comes with COVID inside of it, which is a nice little version here from Mountain Dew. Oh, yeah, that's not good. No, not good. Ooh, what is that? I don't know what that is. It tastes like a can. The flavoring, it's a lot of lime in it, I would say. It's not a very good lime, and it's got some side effects. You know, that one came straight from Wuhan, I think. I wouldn't necessarily try the 2020 version. Bad year for almost everything. That one I'm going to give a D plus. Not good. I would not drink that. Okay, and finally 2019. This could be death. This is back in the good old days, back before COVID came to visit us in our homes. 2019, mystery flavor, Mountain Dew. Again, I think leaving I'll give that one another D plus. I think there's an issue. This one had more of an orange vibe, in case you're interested. I don't think you should go back and buy a multiple-year-old soda and try to drink it live on television. That's just a recommendation from me to you. I would say hold off on that. I would rank them probably one being the 2021 version, two, the second best, the 2019, and three, the 2020 COVID special. But honestly, none of them are fantastic. This one's not bad. The 2021 version is not bad. It's got a pretty strong flavor profile, but I would not recommend it. In fact, I think I'm going to go to the doctors. I think now is the time to go from here directly to a physician to see if whatever I've just consumed can be extracted from my body in some way before I die. But I do appreciate it. Thanks, Matt, by the way, for bringing in the sodas. Again, 1, 2, 3 is how I would order those things. Okay, before we go, StuDoesPowerHour.com. Still available. You can get signed up to come see us here in studio on December 9th. Hang out. To relegate us to our idiocy, you get to watch the Power Hour live. It's the 2022 Christmas Party Power Hour. And I don't even know if these things will be around after this weekend, but if you want to get a Nancy Pelosi Sucks pen, you still can. NancyPelosiSucksPen.com. She's leaving leadership, and this could be the last special here. The code is Buy Nancy, B-Y-E Nancy, 25% off right now. NancyPelosiSucksPen.com, a perfect present for anyone who, like you, also believes Nancy Pelosi sucks. Have a great Thanksgiving.